This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's now been 9 months since an EF3 tornado ripped a 23-mile path through the area, with most of the damage concentrated in North St. Louis. Many residents say they're still waiting for help, and some have given up on getting relief from city assistance programs altogether. Joining me now to tell us more is St. Louis Public Radio economic development reporter Kayvon Mansouri. Kayvon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So before we talk about some of the specifics in your reporting, remind us, Kayvon, about the scope of the damage from this tornado.
Yeah, absolutely. This tornado just absolutely ravaged North City. Obviously, we know it started in Clayton in the county and moved through before jumping over the river and heading to the Metro East. But in North City, the damage was incredible in the worst way possible. There is an estimated about 7,000 homes that were damaged in some way, many of which are vacant homes we know now. But a lot of which were either given red, yellow, or green flags. I think there's something like 1,000 to 2,000 homes that have red flags, which means they were no longer inhabitable. But within that, there are a lot of homes that people who lived in those homes that want to stay and want to fix up their houses that are having a lot of struggle. They're really struggling to do so.
Mm-hmm. And businesses were impacted as well, right?
That's right. A lot of businesses were impacted, some of which we see now, on the day of and actually in the long term as well. A lot have had to shut down. We've seen that in like the Makers area over in North City. And yeah, but there's just been kind of a all-around homes, businesses, you name it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the city of St. Louis set up a couple of relief programs, namely a rental assistance fund and a stabilization fund.
Yeah.
Tell us about each of these.
Yeah, so, you know, these were not programs that were set up beforehand. These were kind of set up on the fly as the city kind of got into response mode. The first program was to sort of help people who were lost their ability to stay where they were at. For instance, if you were renting a home or renting an apartment, I should say, and that building was struck by the tornado, no longer livable. You know, this program was aimed to get you some money to get you out into a new place, maybe help you with the down payment or first month's rent, something like that. And then there's the stabilization program. That did a couple different things, and these are all like sort of like smaller programs within programs, kind of, if you want to think of it that way. But like, for instance, one was an option to like tarp your home. Like if you needed a tarp, you could go through this program. Other were like more serious repairs, or maybe your you know, maybe there was like some big repair you need to make your house livable again. And that's where a lot of the issues started, with people sort of like applying for these things and never kind of, you know, never getting what they, not all, in all cases, but struggling with getting response or getting any sort of assistance.
Mm-hmm. So these programs were slow to get off the ground. Why is it that that was the case?
Well, the city, you know, they had to build these programs sort of like while the plane was flying. You know, they had to, you know, that's kind of how the saying goes, right? But basically, they did not have a infrastructure set up to have this sort of recovery program. So, you know, there wasn't a bunch of people waiting around to, you know, start helping people try to, you know, rebuild their homes or get into new housing. There was some programs, but they hadn't been set up very well, so they struggled as well. Like the Impacted Tenants Fund was something that was set up well in advance of the tornado, shifted to become kind of a tornado-focused program, only to come to find out like a year after the Board of Aldermen actually passed it, it hadn't taken any applications because of some systematic issues. So, you know, it was kind of a perfect storm of things. The city having to set up all of these new programs, some old programs they hoped would be helpful that hadn't been working. And then things kind of got worse, because the actual way people had to apply for it ended up being very very sort of stringent. A lot of easy ways people were missing out is just by not quite fitting this very tight scope of what they might be eligible for. And that's honestly one of the big reasons people are missing out. They've since, well, we can talk more about that, but they've since sort of like tried to remedy that a little bit. But in these first 9 months, up until about a month ago, that was a huge problem for the city.
What have you learned, Kayvon, about the numbers? So how many people have applied and how many claims have actually been successful?
Yeah, not a lot. I think when I, you know, the repairs, as I said, there are about 7,000 homes-ish. That's a rough number that were damaged. I think there was probably about, I want to say about 1,000. Forgive me for not knowing the specific number. Yeah. I'll read it, stlpr.org. But like about 1,000 homes that had applied, 1,500 maybe, and the actual completed scope of project was something around 30 homes so far,
oh, way
to report. So like not many. And that's like, you know, with a more broad scope. When it comes to rentals, they've really struggled to get that out. I think I want to say that they've helped maybe a few hundred people. But again, I'm sorry, the numbers are failing to come
to me right now. Well, stlpr.org
yeah,
is where the story
read.
Is. Well, speaking of the story, one of the people you featured in the piece that you wrote is a resident named Kim Holt. Tell us a little bit about her before we hear some of what she said to you.
Yeah, so Kim lives with her husband in, actually they live in North County, but they have been, they've owned this home in North City in Academy for a long time. Their goal has been, they used to live there a long time ago, their goal has been to basically make this the retirement home. So they have been putting money into this for years. They just put a whole new AC system and then the tornado hits. Then over the next few months, they religiously start applying for programs, like really, really staying on it, trying to apply for each program they can, trying to get assistance. And, you know, 9 months later, they've yet to receive any.
Mm, and let's hear some of what Kim shared with you.
I can fight for myself, but some people cannot. And like I said, when I came down here on the 17th of May, all I could think about was other people. Because I know they can't fight for themselves. I know they can't. I know they can't. And I knew nobody was going to be able to help these people. And they're still not. Here we are 9 months later.
So you talked about what Kim and her husband Eli's situation is. How unique is the set of circumstances they're facing?
I would say when it comes to... they have a specific situation of wanting to go into a house they were planning to live in. In that way, they're unique in the want for help from the city and from FEMA and from more help from their insurance, not unique at all.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to a lot of people since May 16th. You know, every day we try to talk to someone. We try to spend time up in North City to understand what's going up there, and it is a pretty constant conversation. Each month, the city's budget and public employees committee meets during the evening, typically on Wednesdays or Thursdays, and it's never not discussed the amount of the lack of help that the residents of the North Side are getting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not unique.
Are there others that you spoke with and maybe some anecdotes that you recall of what they shared with you?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few times where we've gone out and my colleague Lucretia, this one sticks out to me. We've spoken to a lot of people, but my colleague Lucretia recently went out to one of the homeless encampments. I believe it was up in North City, the Newstead, I believe is the street, and talked to one of the residents who were living in a tent. And there was someone who had struggled to get help, basically. Along that, just, you know, it's kind of hard to pin down what we like. Literally, this is something that we run into a lot. Not just from a side of like struggling to get help from the city, but also struggling to get help from FEMA, insurance funds not paying out. It's all kind of playing in this sort of perfect storm of problems that people are having when they want to stay in their home, when they want to get in new housing, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So this FEMA city dynamic, what about the role of FEMA in all of this? You know, Mayor Kara Spencer has been quick of late to point out the agency's deficiencies.
It's really complicated. I will say, when it comes to these city programs, and this is something we ran into with a lot of comments in the story, is that FEMA has a lot to do with the grand scheme of things, and it's something that, you know, we want to know more about. But when it comes to these city programs, it is this is the city. They had to build new programs on the fly. And those programs over the 9 months have struggled. That is something that they have talked about. They have talked about this in meetings, that these programs are struggling. They are trying to expand the eligibility to make them help. But when it comes to these programs' performances, it doesn't have much to do with FEMA. This is separate buckets of money. This is, the city operating programs. FEMA has little to do with this. FEMA really is more focused on debris cleanup, things of that nature. When it comes to housing people and fixing homes, that's not really their game right now.
Mm-hmm. Julian Nix is the city's chief recovery officer, and you've been in contact with Julian. What has he told you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been very open about this. This is something, this is what they go back to very often, is the city had to build this infrastructure on the fly. They understand that it's not doing enough and that they need to create, you know, they need to expand the eligibility, get more people in the door. But one thing that I asked Julian about, we sort of did a group interview recently with him, and I asked him, like, are you concerned that this lack of sort of progress these programs are making means that these people who are wanting to stay in the north side might not, because they just can't get the help, whether it be from FEMA or from these city programs that were propped up to help them to repair their homes or to get them in a new rental. And he said, you know, basically, if they can't do that, then it's a failure, because they really want people to stay in North City. That's a commitment that the mayor's office and the Office of Recovery has made. They really want people to stay in North City, and that's why I think they're trying to kind of fix these programs that are sort of have been ailing for the past 9 months. As they've been, you know, to the office's credit, they've had been propped up on the fly, and that can be difficult. You know, they're troubleshooting a lot of stuff. On the other hand, when it comes to when you talk to residents, they sort of have little patience for that. It's like there needs to be more execution, less loopholes, less cutting. Some red tape needs to be cut through, basically, is what I'm hearing.
Beyond financial assistance, what has been the emotional and psychological toll that you've heard that residents are dealing with?
I mean, I think you can hear it there when I was talking to Kim in her car with her husband. People are really losing hope. I think this is a neighborhood that we know was already so disinvested from, where people had been struggling to stay there for a long time. The people who were there have their home, maybe it's an ancestral home or what have you. And that's all really been sort of taken away. And I think people like Kim Holt, the countless other families that I've profiled over the past, 9 months and change, I think what they're losing is hope. And I think they're losing that they're really worried that their community that they know will never be back the same way it was.
Mm-hmm. As you are continuing to report on tornado recovery, what are you looking for next, Kayvon?
I'm really focused on, like I just said, people who are wanting to stay in the community, but also people who, are having trouble with programs, with FEMA, with their insurance, people who feel like they're just not getting the aid that they need. That's going to be a big focus of mine, especially as we head up to that year anniversary. Just talking with people where they are now. Has the system worked for them? Has it not? I really want to hear from them. If you're hearing right now, I'd really like to talk with you and just, hear your story, even if it's not for publication. I think it's so important that we continue this coverage in North City. It is, I think, to speak to Julian Nix, he said, this, if North City can't recover, the city will not be whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I really agree with that. So we need to hear those stories.
Kayvon Mansouri is St. Louis Public Radio's economic development reporter. You can read his story on this topic at our website, stlpr.org. That piece is titled "Tornado Victims Lose Hope as St. Louis Programs Deny Relief to Hundreds."
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.